It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts. We're studying that precious book, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 15. We're all the way up to verse 19, but we're going to begin the reading with verse 15. Acts 2:15. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, and please do, we've got many studies there. The plan of salvation is presented clearly there, and also our constitution is there. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either would work just fine. So please that you would get in touch with us. I hope that you enjoy the precious study. Now, let's begin by reading God's precious word, then we'll start with prayer as we always do. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in that last day, saith the Lord, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. We're going to stop with that 25th verse there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come today. I just praise you, Father, that we have this joy of being able to proclaim your word, because we know that your word is what touches the hearts and changes the hearts and lives. There are so many out there today, Father, that are very religious. They work and they serve with such diligence, and yet they really don't know you because they have not come by faith to you. So I ask today, Father, that you would just move their hearts, that they would understand, Father, what they need. Send that sweet spirit of yours, that he would touch the hearts of the lost, and they will accept you as their Savior and begin that wonderful walk. That walk of faith with you. Now please, guide and lead us through this study today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at these words here, and we find that in verse 16 there, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then we begin and read through that section of Scripture there. Now, as we look at what Joel had to say, and as we enjoy that, we need to see that it's such a joy to study the Word of God and to see these verses of Scripture. And as we look back to Joel chapter 2, and we have many verses of Scripture here, that concerning what is coming to pass. But in verse 29 of Joel chapter 2, verse 29, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens of those days will I pour out my spirit." And we know that that is what's taking place here at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, here in Acts. Now, Joel prophesied this 800 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so it was about 834, 835 years later when it truly came into the fullness. But the rest, as we continue in verse 30, "I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Now, let's come over here and compare what it has to say with these wonderful verses, because at the very end of the section here, verse 21, I'm back in Acts as well, chapter 2, verse 21. "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, Joel used just a little bit different word. He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Wonderful verses of Scripture. And we have many things in there, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because there is much that is yet to come. And the part that we enjoy, and that is verse 29. I hope I'm not confusing you, and I hope you held your hand back in Joel. And I always do that. When I'm studying, I'll have, number one, I always use two Bibles. But also, I will take, and when I'm going to multiple places in the Scripture, I will always hold my place, because I reference back and forth, and I held my place back in Joel chapter 2, verse 29, and it says, "Also unto the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days I will pour out my spirit." And so, what a wonderful day that is. And so, we need to look here. The Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all persons in the day of grace. The invitation is, whosoever will. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon all who will believe on the Lord Jesus. Now, we've talked many times that in order to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, for you to have a desire to be saved, you need to realize you're lost. You're condemned already. You need to understand that. You need to accept that. And then you need to call upon the Lord Jesus. You do that by hearing His Word and studying His Word. And so, and as back in Joel, it says the handmaidens, it means the servants, in this case, the female servants. And so, what a joy it is that all, no matter what your place in life is, you have an opportunity to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so we're going to move forwards to verse 18 here, back in Acts now. Acts chapter 2, verse 18. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come." Now, we've got many things here to talk about and to work on, because as we look at this scripture in this text, you'll recognize that it is a direct quote from Joel, and we're going to examine this. I will show wonders in heaven. Wonders occur, miracles wrought by God or his messengers. It is something that happens constantly. We watch the pleasures of our God as he assists us, as he sends his messengers, his angels here to help us, to assist us. And most of the time we have no idea that we're being helped or assisted. At the same time, we need to look at this in its proper light, because as we see these things and as we look at the prophesying, the visions, the dreams, all these things were very common in the Old Testament, and they were also common at the birth of the church. Now we have the complete Word of God. Now, God will direct us. God will give us strength and wisdom. He will lead us into a ministry that we should be doing. He will guide us, but he guides us through his Word. So when you want to know what God would have for your life, what he wants you to do today, you need to go into his Word and begin to read his Word, constantly asking him, Lord, how does this apply to me today? What would you like me to do today for you? Who will you send to me today that I can speak to and give them this wonderful plan of salvation, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? It's always through God's Word. And there is nothing new. Everything that God has for us to know is in his Word. And so if you have a vision or if you have a dream, and it's something that's contrary to the Word of God, that dream is not from God. That vision is not from God. So be very careful. Be very careful that you walk each day serving the Lord. But of course, first you need to know him as your Lord and your Savior. And so you need to call upon him and confess your sin. Say, Lord, please, I recognize I'm a lost sinner. I need salvation. So please, come into my heart and save me. And the Lord will, as it says in this these verses of Scripture. But we have many things here. It says, I will pour out those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, verse 18 says. Now verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now, we need to look at this in a proper way, in the proper light. At Pentecost, there was no blood, there was no fire, there was no vapor of smoke. The sun did not turn to darkness, the moon did not turn to blood. All this occurs in the future. Yes, in the last days. The day of the Lord is that day in the future when Almighty God will manifest himself in a definite, powerful way. And on that day, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've got some verses of Scripture here that we're going to look at. Luke chapter 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, New Testament. Chapter 17. Verse 24. Luke 17:24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. In His day. That's His second coming. Now, we can read a little ahead of that if you'd like. And He answered His disciples in verse 22, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. They shall say unto you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them, because there are many false teachers. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. But first must He suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." Then it goes on to say what's going to take place now. In other words, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. That great and notable day of the Lord refers to the time yet future. Let's go to 2 Peter. See, here's how we find the Word of God and the power and His presence and know what He's talking about here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Let's look at Amos. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Amos, chapter 5. Amos, chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 16. This, too, is about 790 years. And with where we're at in Acts here, why it would be, you know, just about 800 years prior. Amos chapter 5, verse 16. "Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, Wailing shall be in all streets. They shall say in all the highways, Alas, alas! And they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentations to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into his house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it?" That's in Amos. Minor prophet Amos back about 800 years before Acts. Now, we have one more here we're going to take a look at, and that's in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all the way over to the 28th verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 28. "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." God's day of perfection will never end once it begins. But before that day, before that day, we have the fullness of the details that we find back in Joel, which we have here in Acts. Joel, beginning chapter 2, verse 29. And these words are, as we have read a few times, and we'll read them again, "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. These things we have not seen. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come." Those events will all take place. You know, everybody's worried about the annihilation of the world, that man is going to cause it. You need to be ready to meet your God, because there is going to be a day that it will seem like that the world is being annihilated. But it's God's wrath and God's judgment, and it's coming. So please that you will be ready and be prepared. And then we come to this wonderful words here. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In the Old Testament, they needed to repeat the process. Repeated it time after time. We have an example of what we're talking about here that Paul has to say back in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. "Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." You see, in the Old Testament, they needed to do it time after time, repeat their offerings, their sacrifices they would bring them, because Jesus had not finished the work. But let's back up here to verse 10 of Hebrews 10, "by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all." You see, Jesus finished it. Jesus completed it. Jesus paid the sin debt once and for all, something that animals that were offered could only delay, it could only cover. It did not take your sin away. Jesus has finished the work on Calvary. So please that you come to the Lord Jesus. Please that you call upon Him. Jesus paid the sin debt once and for all, that He has been, now is exalted on the right hand of the Father, and now He is both Lord and Christ. And I love this statement. "So the sin question has been settled." I've heard this statement for years. The sin question has been settled. Now it is a son question, capital S-O-N. A son question. What are you going to do about Jesus? I don't think it's the end of the program, because it's not. But that's the question. That's the question. Virgin born, lived a perfect life, was condemned, crucified, buried, shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. We serve a living God. So it all comes down to no longer a sin question, because Jesus paid it all. It is a son question. What are you going to do about the Son of God? Are you going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to call upon Him, recognizing that you're a sinner and you need to be saved? Are you going to do that, or are you just going to continue to be somewhat religious and go to church and not face this sin problem? Don't live in the Old Testament times that your sin is not taken care of. Don't live in the Old Testament times where your sin is just it seems to attempt to be covered, and it's not. Don't think it is. The Old Testament means the tabernacle and temple. Yes, your sins were covered from one year to the next, one time to the next. But now Jesus has taken all that away. But so many to me today in the church has tried to be that covering, that temporary covering. They act like if you continue to come to church and if you follow certain church ordinances of baptism and Lord's Supper, or communion, whatever you want to call it, and all those things, that is covering your sin until you meet the Lord Jesus, and then he'll decide. Well, my dear friend, that doesn't work, because that decision is made. And we come back to the question. It is a son question. Will you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Please. And it's not just any time. You can't decide and wait till you're on their deathbed and you're waiting and a lot of people during a crisis time, they'll call upon the Lord and they'll say, yes, you know, I was in a terrible car accident, or I was very, very sick and I prayed to God and he saved me. He physically saved me. So I know that I'm saved. That is not saved. Salvation comes by the Word of God. Salvation comes when you read the Word of God and realize that you're a sinner and you're lost, and by faith you call upon the Lord Jesus. There is a big difference, a mighty difference, and there are millions of people that have been lied to and deceived. You need to trust in Jesus. Just got just a little bit of time. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 24. 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and believeth on him that sent me, believe the word of God, believe Jehovah God, believe the Lord Jesus, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You're condemned already. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Please that you trust in him. Call upon him. Such a joy to read the Word of God. As we continue the study and we go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 18. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Now jump down with me to verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness superfluity of naughtiness, and receive him with meekness and engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The only way that you're going to turn is the day that you recognize that you're a sinner and you're lost. So you see how important it is to read the Word of God. Please turn to the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God as somebody proclaims it to you, that your heart can be turned and you can be born again. Oh, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?